It's time now for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the games we all love. Now, here's Will Hampton.
Yes, welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. We're excited about another week, another opportunity to talk sports here on Catholic Radio Indy. Of course, this show underwritten in part by the Catholic Athletes for Christ. Well, I hope you got your Super Bowl matchup that you wanted, the Super Bowl parties. Hope you're starting. The planning starts now. But let's talk basketball this week. We got a little break before the Super Bowl. So, you know, the Pacers, a nice little home stretch coming up for them. They're home Saturday, January 27th. They host Orlando. And then Monday, January 29th, the Pacers are hosting the Hornets. And then Wednesday, January 31st, they host Memphis. So a great opportunity to get out and see your Indiana Pacers. And they're battling. They're looking pretty good in the Eastern Conference race right now. And while we're talking basketball here on Catholic Sports Weekly, that means we get to say hi to Todd Licklider, our basketball analyst and a scout with the Boston Celtics. Coach, always good to talk to you, and thanks for joining us this week.
My pleasure, Will. Good to join you. Sounds like Pacer fans got an exciting time coming up, and I know that people are excited about the team and should be.
Yeah.
They've been playing good basketball.
Well, it's kind of a different team now with Victor Oladipo and without Paul George there and Oladipo in. What do you see that's most different about this Pacers team?
Well, I don't know if there's anything most different. I think it's interesting, and rightfully so, there are players on each team that are considered superstars. But so much of it is how they – everybody fits together, their approach, how those supposed superstars, interact with the other guys and compliment them and so on. So much of, I think, winning teams and franchises and all have to do with the people that we don't hear about as much or we don't see, even non-players. The great organizations have people that are doing the things behind the scene and doing the things that aren't recognized so much at a high level. And so I would say Victor Oladipo is doing a great job, and he gets a lot of the credit, but I'm sure he would tell you that he's thrilled to be in the organization and the support that he has. And you kind of see that in the way he is appreciative of just being back in Indianapolis and Indiana. And I think that's energizing.
Yeah. Well, I think some people, and you experienced it, you got away from Indiana for a while. You went out to Iowa.
We don't need to bring that up.
Well, we won't talk about that. But I'm just saying that a lot of people, and I did the same thing. I went away. I went down to Mississippi and went through North Carolina before I came home. There's something about the Hoosier State, and especially if you're a basketball fan, it is the place to be, isn't it? And Oladipo found that out, that he was glad to be back home.
For you and I, Will, being Hoosiers, native Hoosiers, we know how much the fans appreciate it. And he experienced the fan appreciation when he was at Indiana University. So it just makes sense. Somebody said to me one time, well, how much I favored Indiana, and I kind of likened it to if I were a guy who likes surfing, I'd want to be on the coast.
Yeah.
So if you like basketball, you can appreciate Indiana, that's for sure.
Well, we talk about that a lot on this show about leadership and about just kind of that Hoosier quality that a lot of people have in this state. And there's something very genuine about it. And I think it goes back to for a lot of people in the sport of basketball, that there is a connection to faith. There is a connection to just trying to do the right thing, isn't there? And we see that, it seems like, maybe more in this state than other places. I don't know. I've been around here most of my life, so I just feel like that's got to be true, right? Do you agree?
Well, we do. We do claim John Wooden.
Yeah.
So, he's an Indiana guy, and I don't know anybody that coached more appropriately than he did, and had his, in my opinion, had proper perspective and priorities and values. And so, as I told you one time we spoke before, my father, high school coach, he wanted to emulate Wooden. And so I think there was a lot of that. And So hopefully you're right, Will. But hopefully we don't have the market on it that there's probably people throughout the country that are coaching the correct way and passing on values that are going to help young people, their players, you know, throughout their lives.
Yeah. Oh, we've talked about this over the years too. Sometimes, and I'm trying to be as nice as I can, but administrations kind of get in the way sometimes of that. And when you're dealing with some colleges, and you're blessed when, like the situation you had at Butler, where everybody's on the same page and they're like thinking, and that's hard to find. That's genuine, and that's hard to find, isn't it?
I found it that way. I know how thankful I am that I had the opportunity to work for Bobby Fong, John Perry, Barry Collier. I've said this to you a few times. They're very sincere. And I don't think that, you know, I think they saw what it could actually be, that you could complement your institution and you could be sort of the front porch to it and do it right. And your players could be terrific representatives. But everybody had to be on the same page. You had to believe in what you were doing and be sincere and genuine. And I think that there's probably a lot of administrators, a lot of people that believe it. I just don't know if they've ever really experienced this like we did at Butler. We just happened to, it got passed on. And we just happened to have the opportunity. I think Tony Hinkle was that way. Mm-hmm. I know Bill Sylvester was that way. He was a terrific AD. I had the opportunity to work for Bill. And so that was before really Butler had national recognition. And so I think the foundation was always there. And for whatever reason, it just lent itself to the kind of environment that I found it. To be very satisfying.
I know we're talking with Todd Lickletter, our basketball analyst here on Catholic Sports Weekly, and we're going to talk a little bit more NBA in just a bit. But while we're on this subject, if you look around the country, other successful programs besides Butler that sort of run it the same way with where you know a person's, you know, heart and soul and trying to do things the right way. The other one that jumps out seems to be Duke and Mike Krzyzewski. I was fortunate enough to cover him and be part of the local media in North Carolina, and I covered several Final Fours thanks to Mike Krzyzewski and Duke. But that's one that sticks out. It seems like Ohio State has a pretty good feel for it too. Are there others that just kind of jump out to you?
Well, I think the ones that have stability, when you look at Krzyzewski, I think in his third season they won 11 games.
Uh-huh.
And his athletic director, I believe, gave him an extension. They had an idea of what they wanted. And I was thinking about this the other day. We increased attendance at the games at Butler, and we didn't do it through marketing. Marketing is an aid to it, and it's important, but we did it through success and through, you know, being who we truly were and rallying people around the team, and I think that again it's substance based. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the AD at Duke obviously saw in Mike Krzyzewski what he wanted in leadership and was able to stay the course, and I think the rest is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But I think that Mark Few, I'm sure at Gonzaga, has a correct approach, and there's probably so many, Will, we just don't know about them because we hear about the other situations.
Yeah,
I guess that's newsworthy or whatever. But it's nice to it's always nice to talk to you because you're a positive guy. You look at the positive side, and we get to talk about the good parts of the game and of athletics, and that's exciting to me. Mm-hmm. And so I've always appreciated your approach and your wisdom as far as. How things should be in the athletic world.
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you. And you know, one I totally skipped over and shouldn't is Mike Bray up at Notre Dame. I mean, there's another
terrific.
There's a great example, a great university, Notre Dame. A lot of Notre Dame fans, of course, listen to this station. But Mike, you know, I'm sure over the years he's fought off temptations to to leave and maybe go other places. And it's kind of been quiet because in the state of Indiana, you know, IU is still kind of the king of basketball in the state, no matter what they're doing.
Well, Purdue's number three.
Yeah,
right,
Purdue
now
is doing a lot of great things too. So, but as I'm talking, just as far as people's thought, what they think. But you're right, Purdue, and what Painter has done at Purdue is marvelous. But speak a little bit to Mike Bray. I'm sure you know him.
I've always been really impressed with Mike, and I've had the pleasure of watching practice, and he just runs it's like a disciplined classroom. It's just really well done, and you can tell he has terrific rapport with his players. And again, I think people know if you're genuine or not, and he just seems very genuine to me. You know, he worked under Krzyzewski.
Yep.
And I think partially what you're saying too is. I think he was at Delaware maybe before.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He found a good fit for him, I think. And they found somebody that they really embrace at Notre Dame. And he's just done a terrific job there. And those are fun stories. That's fun to see.
Yeah, and it was neat. I think it was last week he broke Digger Phelps' coaching record at the school. And I remember seeing after the game they did the big celebration, and the PA announcer was trying to really drum up, this is who Mike Bray is, and he's done this and he's done that and done this. And the first thing Mike did was reflect it all on the student athletes. He went immediately to the kids. He didn't want to talk about himself at all.
Humility is a great quality, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not one we always see or appreciate, because the ones that sometimes the humble don't get heard. It's always nice to see a guy who's had tremendous success and being appreciated to also voice his thankfulness to others.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us make it very far without a lot of assistance.
Yeah, a lot of help. The Celtics showing the way so far in the East. Of course, you're a scout now with them, and they're playing really, really good basketball. Pacers are sitting right there. They're going to be a team that could get maybe up to fifth or maybe fourth, but they look like a playoff team. Do you start thinking about that yet in January? What do you think the teams are trying to do now in the NBA as far as, try to close this thing out? I mean, they've got a lot of basketball. It's a long, long season, isn't it?
It is a long season, and there's probably more ebbs and flows with it and more – probably less importance, or I don't know if it's important. Every guy who's ever competed wants to win every game, but in college there's such a premium on every game.
Yeah.
And not quite that, but you are trying to grow and improve and get your place. And in a seven game series, it's probably very, very nice to have home court advantage. And I haven't been in, and I'm not directly associated with them. I'm in the personnel area of the organization, but Brad and I obviously speak, and he's informed me a lot in the way the NBA works and how you coach and different things. It's been really interesting. I think it is different. I don't think anyone, as you look at it, has adjusted better than Brad has from college to the pro ranks.
Yeah, remarkable.
Has so much to do with his demeanor, his intelligence. He just is a terrific coach, and as they say, he even better person. So, I know what he's doing. He's trying to help his guys be the best they can be. And I know it's a cliche, but today,
yeah,
here's the day we have. Here's Wooden used to say, make every day your masterpiece. And so, and I think in the NBA, the one thing is that I take from it is that on a given night, anybody can win. And so there's really a premium on being prepared and playing well and executing regardless of your position at this time, because you just don't know what's going to happen, and players are so good. And the things they do are so good.
Yeah.
I just think the coaching is tremendous.
It is.
It's a fun thing to experience and be involved in, even from where I'm at. I'm a regional scout, so I'm not directly in the office every day and all that, so it's a little bit different in that regard. But I still have been able to have some experiences and learn and grow with that, with the NBA game.
Well, Todd Licklider, thank you for what you do, and we're out of time again. You and I get talking, we run out of time real fast, but thank you so much, and appreciate your help and always just your basketball knowledge. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Will. It's a pleasure.
All right, we're going to we'll take a break, and when we come back, a guy who's covered the NBA for a long, long time, and now it's Bruno's Shoebox. What is that all about? We'll tell that story when Catholic Sports Weekly continues.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. It seems like nothing in life is simple. Remember when we set up Audio Now? You could simply dial a phone number and hear Catholic Radio Indy loud and clear wherever you were, right on your cell phone. Well, you can still do that, and the primary phone number is still the same, 641-552-5881. And even though we get around 2,000 calls every month, you never get a busy signal when you call. But because of volume and other issues, sometimes when you call, you get a message giving you a different phone number. If you get that message, write down the new phone number, or simply push 1 on your phone and we'll text you the new number. Then begin using that new number each time you call. It'll work best for your cell phone and for your cell phone carrier. Yeah, I know, that's a little bit of a hassle, but it's worth it. Clear reception of Catholic Radio Indy wherever you are. Doesn't use any data, doesn't tie up your phone, and is free if you have unlimited minutes. Remember the number, 641-552-5881.
What's God done for you?
Take inventory. Go beyond your usual top 10. 'Tis the season to be grateful.
Thanksgiving. Be amazed at how it changes you.
Catholic Radio Indy.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. And we're always good just for looking for something new or different. That's really what this week is about. We had a chance to talk to Todd Licklider. The NBA is in the middle of their season. But, you know, every once in a while you just go shopping, and I found a guy that used to cover the NBA, and now he's opened a brand new store on the square in Noblesville. Let's go shopping at Bruno's Shoebox. Conrad Brunner, now it's called Bruno's Shoebox. Help me understand this passion. you must have had a passion for memorabilia for a long time, to think that you now can open a store in Noblesville.
Yeah, I guess I've been a closet nerd for a while, a closet geek card guy. I've had a lot of interests. I've been a gamer, I've been to every day at Gen Con until last year, ever since it's been here. So I have a lot of interests beyond sports writing, but probably the one thing that has sustained my passion the most has been, you know, cards, old cards and memorabilia, which I've done that since I lived in Atlanta 35 years ago. So did a lot of the card shows around here for a few years just to sort of see how the market was, how the interest was. Turns out it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so when this opportunity came along, I could not say no.
Now, people know you, of course, .com, but Indianapolis Star before that. And give our listeners a little bit of a history lesson. You covered primarily the Pacers, right? That's kind of been your beat most of your life. You were a Pacer guy.
Yeah, primarily the Pacers. I came here in 1988 to the news from Atlanta to cover the Pacers, which I did full-time till mid-90s, and then the Star and the News merged, and I came over to the Star as their Pacers guy. Then I assisted with the Colts, started helping out with the Colts then when the papers merged, and I've sort of been involved with Colts coverage off and on from 96 to about 2000, and then after I went to the Pacers.com from, 2000 to 2011, I came back to 1070 The Fan and did Pacers and Colts. So okay. I've done a little bit of this, a little bit of that, primarily Pacers with the Colts a strong second in terms of years.
So we have two former Indianapolis sports media guys here with you and me both.
They just can't get rid of us, Will.
I know I don't miss it. You did it longer than I did in this market. Now, I was in the career, in the business for about 30 years, other markets and places.
it's fun to have a Saturday back, yeah. isn't it, huh?
It's nice to, you know, and it's hard for some folks to understand because I fully get it that out there a lot of people think what we did is the fantasy job. It's the thing they wish they could do. And it probably is until you do it long enough. I used to tell people all the time that if I ever really wrote a book about my career, the title would be The Closer You Get, The Farther Away You Want to Be. Just you find out too much. You find out more than you really wish you wanted to know. So from that standpoint, no, missing it, no, it's been very, very, very easy to go home and flip on you know, the Goldbergs instead of the game that night.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of guys like you and me and others who were in the business for a while, in the television and radio and print world, is that you find out that there is another life, that, my goodness, there's things you can actually do with your family, huh?
And I also fully understand that there are guys that do what we do who will do it until the day they die. I mean, literally. Sadly, Jeff Washburn up in Lafayette just about did that literally. And I'm not showing any disrespect to any of those folks that are that way, that I envy their passion for that. I just didn't have it. My passion was to have a life after this, after journalism, and probably is starting a little bit sooner than I thought it would, but hey, circumstances dictated it, and so here we are.
So the Bruno Shoebox, it's on the square in Noblesville. The actual address is
50 North 9th Street, and so people know we're sort of in between Mateo's on one side and Rosie's on the other, because I found out when people ask me where we are, they say, okay, where is that relative to, and it's usually either Mateo's or Rosie's, so we're kind of right in between Mateo's and Rosie's.
And you have a lot of cards, and help me, give me a quick look at what you have in your store. Oh.
Vintage baseball, and by vintage I mean pre-1980. Anything after 1980 really is too modern for me. Going all the way back to, you know, tobacco cards of the early 20th century, 1909, and some things like that. I really specialize as much as anything in vintage basketball. I feel like I have a pretty strong collection of vintage basketball going back to 1948, which was the first issue of a public issue of a basketball set. But, you know, old ABA Pacers cards, some special one-of-a-kind proofs that you can't see anywhere else. I try to find unusual stuff as well as the high-demand things that everybody wants. And everybody wants to see Oscar Robertson. Everybody wants to see Wilt or, you know, Lou Alcindor, those types of things. And I have those. But I also try to find some things that you probably won't see in most other places.
Now, of course, you're in the business to sell. You want to sell this stuff. But is there a piece that you kind of hope nobody buys?
Actually, no. In this store, no, because my personal collection is quite literally in a shoebox in my house.
Okay.
And those are cards that means they're not really investment cards. They're very personal meaning cards. My two favorite players of all time, because I was a kid in D.C. Way back in the early 60s, rookie card of Sonny Jurgensen, rookie card of Frank Howard of the Senators. And those are my, you know, those are my guys. So that's the kind of stuff that I keep in my shoebox for my personal collection. Everything else is inventory. At least I tell myself that.
Yeah, now you've only been open for a short time, but how's business? I know we're sitting here doing this interview, and your dog, your Husky Blue, is right here with us, and she knows her name well. And now
she'd be dominating the show.
I used to have a Husky that could talk almost on command sometimes and make some noises. Can she do that?
She'll sing, absolutely. Once or twice a day, I've got to get her to sing so she gets it out of her system. The one, as beautiful as she is and as calm and good as she is, she has a bad singing voice.
Really?
I think that was probably her fatal flaw.
Well, I think that it's worth the trip to Bruno's Shoebox, if only to say hi to Blue.
Absolutely.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people do that, and that's so far.
And you also buy. Tell me about that. If people come in and they think they have a card or another collection of any kind that you might want to, you'll take a look at it and assess it, right?
Oh, no question about it. When you do vintage, you can't just go online and call a warehouse and get some more stuff sent to you. You're constantly on the lookout for collections and things for people to bring in, because one of the reasons vintage is such a special part of the hobby is there's just not that much of it out there anymore. So you do have to take every opportunity you can get to take a look at collections and see if it's something that you do want to buy. So, yes, I'm buying as well as selling, maybe more buying than selling to this point.
Yeah. So if people want to see, of course, it's 50 9th Street on the square between Rosie's and Mateo's in Noblesville. Are there other ways to get a hold of you, a phone number, or somebody just wants to call you first? Or
yeah, we have a Facebook page, which is Bruno's Shoebox, all one word, if you want to find out, if you want to find us there. The phone number is 317-287-4802. We're open Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 6.
Memories galore.
Absolutely. If you don't have some, you might spark some by looking around at the stuff here.
Thank you, Bruno. Go to Noblesville and check out Bruno and Blue. Catholic Sports Weekly continues right after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten in part by Catholic Athletes for Christ, serving Catholic athletes and sharing the gospel through athletics. With an integrated network of sports-oriented clergy and laypeople, they help athletes, coaches, and staff members in the practice of their faith. Information about Catholic Athletes for Christ and their new recording of the Holy Rosary featuring Hall of Fame sportscaster Vince Scully are available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. Please listen very carefully to this message. A rare opportunity has come along that may change the future of Catholic Radio Indy. It's extremely rare for a radio station to be offered for sale in cities such as Indianapolis. There is currently a radio station that may be available. If Catholic Radio can purchase this station, it would be the major expansion that we've been praying for years. It would allow us to significantly improve reception over most all of Indianapolis and the surrounding area. We're currently in contact with this station's owner. We need each and every listener at Catholic Radio to pray for the success of these negotiations. On our website, you'll find a powerful novena to St. Joseph. Please join us in saying the novena each day. Whether or not you say the novena, please pray that we can successfully complete the purchase of this new station. It will absolutely be a major improvement for Catholic Radio Indy. Please say a prayer right now, and at Mass, and in all of your daily prayers. People who own a boat, RV, or motorcycle often find it's an expensive hobby, especially if it's an older one. It seems like it's always needing a repair. Plus, you have to pay to insure it, store it, and license it, even when you're not using it, which is most of the time. You can donate it to Catholic Radio. We'll sell it or salvage it, and the money will help keep us on the air. Visit our website, CatholicRadioND.org, and click on Donate Your Vehicle, or call us at 317-870-8400.
So we took a little break from football this week. We'll talk plenty of football next week. Again, thanks to Todd Licklider and also Conrad Brunner for being our guests this week on Catholic Sports Weekly. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton. It's a look at local youth and high school Catholic sports and the leaders who have touched and are touching the lives of the athletes who participate in the sports we all love. Listen each Tuesday and Friday afternoon at 4 for Catholic Sports Weekly here on Catholic Radio Indy. This program is underwritten by Catholic Athletes for Christ. More information is available at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org.